All right, guys, I've been talking for the last several weeks about kind of the heart of our church and the vision God has given us for the Well. You know, we've started our into our sixth year now. We just celebrated our five-year anniversary last Sunday. And it's been an exciting time for me to just reflect on what God originally called us to do with the Well and the things that He's done through the Well. And it's pretty amazing. It's pretty incredible to see how God works. And all the things that He originally told us, I didn't believe at first. I'm like, well, is that really God? And then all through this time, He just continues to show me, yes, it's God. And it's been amazing. So, you know, Santa Roy, I think, have been here the whole time. Very first service, you guys were here. And it's been an amazing time. And so one of the things He called us into as a church is community, and we talked about that. Last Sunday I talked about how He called us into unity, to be united in Christ, to serve Him together. And this week I want to talk about another topic that we're called into as the church. So this week I want to talk about how we're called to serve. Now, I read a funny quote. I would love to take credit for this, but I won't. It says, most people wish to serve God, but in an advisory capacity only. Yeah. Am I right?
Yeah.
We have no problem serving God if we can tell Him what he should do, what we think God should do. But oftentimes, we are instructed by God to serve in certain ways. And that's where our feet start to dig in, our heels dig into the ground, and we're like, no, God, not me. I've got other things to do. You know, use me in this way. Use me the way I want you to use me, not the way you want to use me, right? And that's where we get into trouble. That's where we start to walk outside of God's obedience, and before you know it, you've completely tuned out the voice of God. And that's a dangerous place to be. If you guys would turn with me to 1 Peter in the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 4. And I don't have an event created today on YouVersion. I wish I had time to do it. I did not.
1 Peter what?
1 Peter chapter 4. And I'd like to take a look at verse 10. And as always, I love having people read for me. Not Shiloh back there, but somebody else. If somebody would read verse 10, that would be great. Any volunteers?
Go ahead,
Randy.
You want it? Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms.
Thank you, Randy. So, Peter is a man that followed Christ. He was kind of the leader in many cases of the disciples. And he's very clearly saying, whatever gift you have received, we've talked about this many times, that each person that's been called in the kingdom of God has gifts that God has designated for them to use in the service of the church. Does everybody here believe they have a gift that God has given them? Everybody figured out what their gifts might be?
No?
After all these years?
Are you kind of serious? Yeah, I mean, I just do whatever I feel like I'm supposed to do.
And you're doing a good job.
There you go.
You've got the gift of giving.
I do.
And serving.
And serving. You are. You're a server. We each have a gift. And, you know, it's like any gift you get. You open it, you can either do something with it or you can set it aside. You can give it to somebody else, right? That it's a great gift. I'm going to give it to this person because I really don't want it. You can unwrap it and try and understand what it is if you don't know what it is and put it to use. But the one thing's clear, whatever gift God has given us, It is to be used not for our own selfish purposes or selfish ambitions. It is clearly to be used to serve God and serve in His kingdom, in His community. And I've seen many cases where gifts that people have are used for self. They become arrogant about it. They become prideful about it. And they use this gift to serve themselves. And I'll tell you what, that in those areas, that is going to be the biggest detriment to your life if you're not using your gift to serve the Lord, but serving yourself. And yes, He allows us to do that, by the way. I've seen people that have an incredible gift, but they have the selfish ambition, and they use it to serve self instead of God. Now, I came to learn this one time in the late 80s, early 90s. Believe it or not, your pastor was a rock star. I was in a band that was taking off, and we had a record deal on the table, and we were playing in all these big places all in South Texas. And this was the MTV era, so I was picturing myself on MTV, Mr. Rockstar. And I'll tell you what, the band fell apart because of multiple reasons. Number one, there were five selfish guys all trying to keep a band together. Doesn't work, right? The second thing was we were using a gift that I believe God gave to serve self. We weren't serving God whatsoever. And I had an epiphany one day where God said the arts are a gift to worship. They're a gift to worship. And we're using the gift to worship self instead of God. And when I came to realize that, when I became a Christian later on, I realized that God gave me a gift of music. I compose, I've recorded, I've done sound for big churches. And when I started to say, you know what, I'm going to use this gift any way I can to glorify God and serve Him and not try and make a profit off it, not try and use it for selfish ambition. And all of a sudden, God started to bless that ministry that I had. I was able to serve in these big churches that, you know, was just a thrill of my lifetime. I got to do sound stuff. I recorded several tracks and wrote several pieces of music for God, not for myself. And I would give my music away and allow people to use it. And as soon as I started doing that, my gift began to increase. I began to be more knowledgeable about music. And if you've ever composed music, it is an art form, and it is a hard art form. And it's a very tricky thing to do. There were times where this stuff would just come out of me. It would flow. And I'd have these incredible tracks. And I'm like, how did that come out of me? I've never done anything like that before. And I started to realize because I was using it to serve God, God was increasing that gift. And I've learned that. The more I've used certain gifts that God has given me to serve Him, the more they've increased in the abilities and the more I've become educated, not by my own power, but by God's might, by His wisdom poured into me. And so we're all called to use our gifts to serve Him. And you will see the immense blessing that comes with that when you begin to have a selfless ambition to serve God using the gifts He's given you. Now, in Galatians 5, we learn that the gifts that were given and our service must be chosen to serve out of love. So if you look at Galatians 5, verse 13. Would somebody like to read Galatians 5, verse 13? Okay.
For brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another.
Thank you so much. One of the translations that I use a lot is the NIV, and it translates that last part into serve one another humbly in love. Humbly in love. You see, when we're serving, it's got to be a choice that we make. God doesn't force His will on us. We all know that. Anybody that's even been a Christian for a few days knows that God doesn't force anything on you. He gives you a choice to make. He gives you opportunities, right? And you have to choose to pursue that opportunity or deny it. And the thing that's so important here is that we have to serve out of love. When we choose to do something, if we're trying to gain favor by works, we're not going to gain favor. If we do it purely out of the outpouring of our heart, the love and compassion for God and for others, then we're serving according to God's plan and not our own desires. Does that make sense? So a lot of times we get confused and we want to do good deeds and we think we're going to get favor with God if we do that. But where we need to get to is a place where our heart compels us to serve. Where we recognize that God, in His grace and love, decided to partner with mankind on His mission here on earth. Missio Dei is what we call that. God's mission. He's chosen to use the human race as a vessel to do His work here on earth. He didn't have to. He could have said, I'm going to show my might without this nasty human race that has sinned and rebelled against me. But instead, He said, I love you. I want you to be in service with me. And He's chosen us to serve Him in this capacity. And so we have to choose, do I really want to do this because I love to serve God and I love to see His work in the lives of other people? Or am I just doing it to check something off on the box and say I did my good deed this week? Now, I'm not saying there's something wrong with just doing good deeds. But to really understand Christ, we learn to just have that same compassion that He had for people and for God the Father. To just allow love to motivate us into service. Selfless service. Now, I'll just demonstrate an example of this. My wife, I'm very proud of her. She has got such a servant heart. It's one of the things that really attracted me to Cindy is she is selfless in many ways. And we had so much going on this week with work. I got tasked with a very, very big project that I have to get done before I can leave on vacation. And she has badly wanted to bring her family together in our house, and there were several birthdays this summer, so she decided to set up a party, bring the whole family in. And many of you know that she has some health issues, and at times it's hard for her to do things. And regardless, she worked tirelessly to make sure that everybody that came had a good time. No matter what she was going through, she put herself out there to make sure everybody was having a good time. It was a selfless act of love serving others. And I think that's a good illustration of where we all should be when we're serving Christ. This selfless act of service. It's the same in marriage, guys. I mean, I think marriage is the closest thing we have to the Trinity and to the way the Trinity works. You're putting the other person above you all the time. You're praising that person. You're not worshiping that person, but you're putting their needs above your own. And you're doing it out of love, and you're not wanting anything in return. A lot of times we'll do something for somebody else because we want something in return, right? If that's where we are, it's a bad place to be again. We need to do those selfless acts because we do it out of love, compelled to want to see that person be the best they can be, or see that person just be lifted up. Another thing the Bible tells us about service can be found in Romans 12:11. Romans 12:11. And I love Romans. Such a Oh, it's a great book. Somebody want to read Romans 12:11?
I'll get you.
All right.
Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice.
That's good. You can keep going. Rejoice is awesome.
Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer.
Thank you, sir. What does that describe to you? Any thoughts in serving? Yeah?
Don't get lazy.
Yeah.
It's okay to enjoy it, but do it for the right reason, for your own hurt.
Right.
I love what I do with the old people. I mean, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's entertaining at times. They get into balls.
The NIV says, keep your spiritual fervor. Not fervor, but fervor.
Fervor.
Never be lacking in zeal.
There was a news report over the weekend where these children were having a like a summer camp, but their summer camp wasn't an old folks home.
Mm-hmm.
And so they took both generations, the younger kids, you know, they were a little older, like 10, 11, 12.
Right.
And they were in this camp and they were spending, you know, summer days with the old folks, and the old folks were teaching them how to play chess and how to play golf and do these things, and they were reading to each other, and so the two generations were interacting, and the kids were getting the stories from the old folks, and the old folks were getting the youthful whatever from the children, and it was really neat to see.
That's awesome. That is awesome. We need to serve with zeal. You get compassionate about serving. You get excited about knowing that God is using you in His kingdom to do His work. There are times where I'm guilty of grumbling and complaining. I'm like, God, really? I got all this stuff to do and you're calling me to do that? Are you kidding me? Have you not seen my calendar, Lord?
He's like, yeah, there's one space right there.
Exactly. I mean, I'm guilty of that. As a human being, there's times where I don't serve with zeal. There's times where I'm like, oh, really? And then I get myself in check and I ask God to renew my heart. I tell Him, I apologize, Father. You are a good God. I should be honored and privileged that You've called me to do this. And every time He's called me to serve, He's done the blocking and tackling for me. If any of you have ever worked in an environment where you have a boss that shields you from all the monotonous day-to-day stuff so you can do your job, isn't that awesome? And then the other boss, it doesn't. It's like, good Lord, why am I working here, right? What I've learned is that when God calls us in service, He does the blocking and tackling. It's like He stops time. Anybody ever experienced that? Mm-hmm. There have been times where I've had to minister to somebody that it's taken hours. Mm-hmm. And I've actually had to take time off work to do it. And I'm sitting here thinking, oh, this is going to be bad when I get back. Not a single phone call during that time, not a single email, no interruptions. And that's what God does. He calls you, He's going to provide your needs. And we need to have zeal and be excited about serving in the kingdom of God. Yes, sir.
Tim, I have found that every resource that He has asked me to give Him, He has multiplied.
Yeah.
If He needs my funds, I have never run dry.
Right.
If He needs food, I have never run hungry. And if He needs my time, I always end up with
more time. Exactly. That is so true, Dan. It is so true. I mean, God always provides. He blesses us immensely when we're just willing to trust Him and step into service. And, you know, one of the things that was so passionate to me that God spoke to us was this wasn't going to be a church that just met on Sunday. It's going to be a community of believers that took action, that got out, served any way we could serve. And I've seen that in this church, and it's so exciting to see because I've been at churches where nobody does anything. You know, the pastor's the only one doing stuff, or there's one or two volunteers that do everything. And everybody in this church has served in one way or another. And I don't believe the church service is necessarily the place that opens up those opportunities. Yeah, there's things we can do to serve during a service. But the real service is outside of the service. It's in the community. And that's where the opportunities really lie and where people's gifts can really be used in a mighty way. And to see this church do that, and I just want to encourage you, if you don't have that zeal, pray and ask God for it. Say, light a fire in me, God. Give me an excitement to serve you.
It is fun.
It is fun. You know, the times that I did grumble and went out, oh, I got to go do this. I don't have time. And I showed up. I was so glad I did later on. I mean, God just showed me how mighty He is. It's just amazing. We need to learn to serve with zeal. You know, there are times where we're tired, we got other things going on. But I'll tell you what, if you just trust God when He calls you, just trust Him. Say, here I am, God, use me. Ask Him for that zeal, that passion.
I'm waiting to get a letter from the corporate headquarters to tell me to quit lesson B.
The next way that we need to serve God is with humility. We need to serve with some humility. Would you all turn to one more verse, and that is in the book of Mark in the New Testament, Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. And let's look at verses 42 through 45. I have somebody that would read those verses for me, 42 through 45 in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. Go ahead.
Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be a servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even when the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many."
Thank you so much. This is an area that I think we need to be reminded of over and over again. There is no task that is too small. God calls some people to clean up after service. God calls some people to go into the filth of the city and minister to people. There are many who serve the Lord and you never hear their names, and they do mighty things. There are people that give up their entire livelihood to go serve the Lord. Not to get glory, not to get credit, not to be recognized, but to be walking in God's mission, knowing that God is using that person to do His work on earth.
Look at Rocky.
Look at who?
Rocky.
Rocky, yeah. Yep. Rocky Sigler, he's a gentleman that we got to know early on that did a lot of homeless ministry and was a very giving person, just willing to go wherever God called him. And a lot of times it was into some pretty dangerous places. I read a story recently, and I want to read this. Anybody know who D.L. Moody is? D.L. Moody? Dan knows who he is. He was an incredible pastor, preacher from the late 1800s. And somebody wrote this story about him, and I want to read it to you. Said, D.L. Moody was the most famous evangelist in the world in the late 1800s. People came from all around the world to attend his Bible conferences in Northfield, Massachusetts. One year, a large group of pastors from Europe were among the attendees. They were given rooms in the dormitory of the Bible school. As was the custom in Europe, the men put their shoes outside the door of their room, expecting them to be cleaned and polished by servants during the night. I didn't realize that was a custom in Europe back then. I want to make sure I put my shoes out while we're there, see what happens. They'll be gone the next day. Of course, there were no servants in the American dorm. But as Moody was walking through the halls and praying for his guests, he saw the shoes and realized what had happened. He mentioned the problem to a few students, but none of them offered to help. Without another word, the great evangelist gathered up the shoes and took them back into his own room, where he began to clean and polish each pair. Moody told no one what he had done, but a friend who interrupted him in the middle of the shining the shoes came and helped him finish the task, and later told the story of what happened. And it goes on, despite the praise and fame he received because of God's blessing on his life and ministry, Moody remained a humble man. Jesus Christ, the Son of God and King of Heaven, had the right to honor, praise, and worship. Yet to be a Savior, he laid all of his privilege aside and became a lowly servant. We often hear people talk of living as Jesus lived, and while he truly was a model for us to follow, many who speak of following him are unwilling to give up their rights and reflect his humility. We will never be like Jesus unless we humble ourselves and become lowly like he. That's a pretty good story. I'll never forget our trip to Malawi last year in Africa. We're sitting in a Pastor Steve Kisecki's church, and we were doing a pastor's conference. We were teaching these pastors that walked miles to come. It was packed. And the floor was, it was poured brick floor. They make the bricks and they build the floor with bricks and the walls with these homemade bricks. And there was dust all over the floors. And they had, these plastic chairs that we sat in. And a couple of pastors were up before the service began. And they were teaching, or they were trying to get everybody in their seats and situated. And Pastor Will Langstaff from America, who has a PhD from Dallas Theological Seminary. He was an Air Force officer, flew fighter jets, and had just highly respected by a lot of people. He walks up there, gets on his knees, and starts polishing their shoes in front of everybody. And the two gentlemen, the two pastors that were getting their shoes polished, were just shocked. Because it was becoming quite aware that in that culture where we were at, the pastors were starting to take on a little bit of pride. It was a big deal for them to have all these people that would come hear them preach, and they were their pride was setting in. So this pastor that flew all this way from America comes and begins to shine their shoes, and these guys were in awe. Like, no, Pastor, no, what are you doing? He's like, I'm teaching you a lesson. If your teacher does this to you, you should do it to others. And it was a heartfelt gesture. And everybody was silent during that time. This great man of God that's done some mighty things with his life goes to this place that, they don't know anything about wealth by any means, and gets on his knees and just shines their shoes. How often are we willing to have that kind of humility in our lives to serve? Sometimes we have to get down and wash the feet of others. Jesus did it. He didn't have to come down and do any of this stuff. Jesus is an example that's used today, even in the secular world, by the way, to teach servant leadership. The secular world is beginning to understand that servant leadership might actually work. It might be a good way to motivate people and get people on board. It teaches you to have a heart over others, to put their needs above your own as a leader of a group. And it's not just for the pastors, it's for everybody. If you began to mimic the humility of Christ, people get drawn to that. Whether it's your family, your children, your coworkers. You know, I work in an environment where we have a lot of type A personalities, salespeople. These are highly paid, highly groomed salespeople, a lot of them with MBAs, and they make a lot of money. And so there's a lot of pride that I deal with on a day-to-day basis. And one of the things that shows up on my evaluations year after year, which I take pride in, is that Tim's willing to do whatever's needed. And I don't say that to boast in myself. I say that because I learned that from Christ. Whatever's needed. If we could all just continue to develop that in our life and learn to serve with some humility, even if the person doesn't deserve it. There are many people in my life who were not always the nicest to me. And yet I always felt God saying, it doesn't matter, you got to show them the love of Christ. And to see the look on those people's face when you're willing to do something for them just because you love them, you care about them, even though they don't act like you'd want them to act. And to do some kind thing to them and see a change in who, in their demeanor altogether, go, whoa, wait a minute, you can't do that because then I can't be mad at you anymore.
No, it's not even that. It's the fact that you do it because they might be upset with you or whatever, but they pass it on to somebody else.
Yeah. That's right. We live in a selfish society, guys, right? I don't think anybody would debate that, right?
Nope.
Me, mine. When we learn to start treating the things that we have and the resources we've been given and the world around us as God's, not mine, and begin to realize it is a privilege to have the things that God has allowed us to have, when we begin to use them for His service and not our own, things change. Things begin to change. And I think it's incredible when we do things like take school supplies over to a school. Not because we have to, not because we're obligated to. Because we want to make a difference. We want to live our lives as Christ lived His life and do something in humble service for those that are less fortunate. You know, I was having a discussion with my daughter the other day that, you know, the government has stopped funding certain social programs and her career is involved in that. And she's upset about it. And I said, you know what? I said, it's not the government's job to fund those. It's the church and people to fund those things. That's what the church used to do. The church used to be the ones that people go to for help. Now I think the church does more turning away than helping. And so let's learn to have some humility. You know, this is a lesson for life. It's not a lesson for being a servant leader. It's a lesson for life. When it comes to our spouses, when it comes to our kids, teach them and serve them in humility like God did for you and for me. That's a hard thing, man. Guys, especially, we're afraid to ask for help. We're afraid to reach out. You're taking away the blessing of somebody else being able to help you, for one thing. And we need to recognize that God brought us in community for that purpose as well, that we're here to help each other, to serve one another.
Eric's a perfect example because right now he's in need and he's afraid to ask. But because we went and helped him yesterday, Lily's here.
Right.
Yep. Sometimes you have to humble yourself to let somebody help you because it means a lot to them. And I had to do that once because I was so used to helping. I needed help. And the people that I was helping were able to help me and they were so overjoyed to be able to help me.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, okay, you just have to, because I'm very self-sufficient. I don't like anybody helping me.
Right.
But
yeah,
sometimes you have
to. Hard thing to accept sometimes.
Be a gracious receiver.
Gracious
receiver.
That's
hard.
Nothing involves
diamonds. That's different.
Oh,
you're so cute.
But you know what? If you go throughout your whole life and don't need help, praise you. God bless you. But there are many times where God is just waiting for you to humble yourself and ask Him. Say, Lord, I need help. I need you in this. And then when He sends somebody to help you, be ready to receive it. And sometimes you're the person that God's called to go be that help for somebody. You know, we can't pray for one another unless we know somebody needs prayer, unless God specifically puts it on our heart. You know, as a pastor, sometimes I'm embarrassed to go and ask people for prayer, which is silly. I'm a broken person just like y'all. I'm a human being that's been saved by the grace of God.
Well, when we get down in prayer, you should be one of the first we pray for.
I would really appreciate it. I would.
I pray for you whenever you're traveling.
We definitely
sure
do.
Return safely.
And I appreciate that very much. The thing is, I should be asking for prayer at times, and I feel like, as a pastor, sometimes I think I'm supposed to be the super saint, and I'm not.
Well, it shouldn't have to be. This is your family.
That's right. But it is a lesson, and I'm sitting here telling you guys to model Christ in humility. That's an area where I need to do better. Mm-hmm. I need to be humble in that area and be willing to ask you guys to pray for us at times. And so, Lord, forgive me for those areas. You okay? So my point here is, I bet there's an area in all of our lives where we could learn some more humility, right? Learn to serve out of love and humility. And to be willing to ask people to pray and be willing to ask people just to be an ear, whatever it might be. That's what this church was meant to be, guys. It's meant to be a place where there was safety in worship. You could come and know the person next to you that you are worshiping with, and there's safety in that, and you can feel secure and truly worshiping God. It was a place where we could serve one another. It's like in Acts 2, chapter 42, or verse 42, where it starts to tell you about how the church functioned. They broke bread together, they fellowshipped together. They prayed together, and it doesn't say this, but I bet they played together. They were a knit family that God brought together to help one another. So I said this for the last 2 weeks, that you know, every family has problems. Every family has issues. And it's no different in the church. We're all going to have issues at times. We're going to be mad at somebody. We're going to be hurt by somebody. There's something that was said that was interpreted wrong, maybe. And so how do you work through those? You talk. You go to that person and say, hey, you said something that offended me. Can we talk about it? Versus, I'm leaving that church. That dude's an idiot. I'm never going back there. You do that with your family? You just walk away and leave?
Sometimes.
Sometimes?
Yeah. That's about 30 years of it.
Yeah.
Well, if it's continued abuse, I understand. But if you try and resolve the issue and it's easy to resolve, why not do that? You know, I said this too, that, you know, if you're looking for a perfect pastor, you didn't find the right guy, because I make mistakes too. And, you know, we need some grace, especially in the church. And it takes some humility to admit when we're wrong and when we need to be corrected and be able to accept that. Guys, if I ever do something wrong or do something to offend you, come tell me. I'm not here to offend you. I'm here to build you up and encourage you and help you grow in your faith.
But that's why you have people here to check you.
Like, absolutely.
Mark's always here. Dan's always here.
Yep.
You know, there's always somebody here to say, well, wait a minute.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's times where I'm going to be wrong. Absolutely. And I have no problem with that. If I'm wrong, correct me. We're all in this together. And that's what it means to be humble, guys, to allow somebody to speak in your life in truth and love. To serve one another that way. Pick up the phone, text somebody in the church, say, hey, I'm struggling with this. I'm having this issue. Can you pray with me? Can we talk about it? That's how families do things. They work through those problems. All right, let me close this there.